from the Carter Subaru Studios. This is the G and Ursula Show with G Scott and Ursula Voitin.
It is the 10 o'clock hour of the G and Ursula Show. Ursula's out today, but Aaron Mason, my former co-host with Cairo Knights, he's in today. Good morning to you, Brother Mace.
Good morning, G.
Mace, I got a text message, man.
Huh.
It said that they are looking forward to a great 10 o'clock and 11 o'clock hour because they said to me that the 9 o'clock hour is something that they weren't used to out of me because usually we try to have a show that is about centered around hope. And they said it didn't feel a lot of hope in that 9 o'clock hour. Yeah.
All right. Well, hey. Positive. I think we're trying to make good change. You know, we're trying to turn things around.
That's right.
Sometimes the news ain't always good news.
That's right. So that means it's going to be on Chef to make sure that we have more positive takes the 10 and 11 o'clock hour. So if you don't get your cheese on the broccoli and it doesn't taste really good for you, it's Chef's fault. Is that fair, Chef?
I don't know. If you're putting your faith in bringing hope to the Debbie Downer on the show, that didn't turn out too well last time.
Talking about inflation. Come on.
All right. Let's see what these topics are. You ready?
I'm ready.
The top
number
three.
One.
Top three things you need to know at 10. Let's get it.
All right. Here we go. Nope.
That's all right.
Here we go.
Number one.
Working out the kinks.
We're gonna talk about free speech. Danny Westneat, love that guy, by the way, notes in the Seattle Times that, quote, politicians in Washington state are going on a censorship deal. Danny first points to Governor Jay Inslee, who wants to be able to criminally prosecute and remove those from office, any elected official who spreads lies about elections with the intent of inciting or producing imminent lawless actions. And on the other side of the aisle, Republicans want to muzzle teachers and prevent them from teaching about structural racism. One bill that Westneat cites is House Bill 1886, sponsored by Representative Brad Klippert of Kennewick, which would ban any classroom discussion and any classroom curriculum that instructs that in schools, including any classroom discussion about the notion that institutions in this country can be structurally racist. Okay, there's the news. Mace, let's start off first with Governor Jay Inslee, who wants to criminally prosecute and remove those in office, any elected officials who spread lies about elections. Your thoughts?
I'm all for it. And you know, people are going to say politicians lie all the time and this and this and that. I don't think it's worth look, there's a standard of proof in this country when it comes to lies. We have libel and slander laws. They are things that happen all the time. And there is a burden of proof. You can't just say things that are patently and provably false. One area where people can do a lot of damage lying is the foundation of our democracy, and it's elections, and it happens. I don't think this is going to be a situation where any politician who disagrees with another politician is going to drag them through this court process. I don't see that happening. Again, there is a standard of proof, but if you are someone who is deliberately lying and one of the qualifications is causing harm to other people, if that's something that an elected official is doing, then I don't think they should be in that position.
There's no way in the world I can get behind this.
Now, really?
Let me go into why. Governor Jay Inslee, don't get me wrong, I like Governor Jay Inslee. I think he has done a great job. I know there's a lot of people that don't. But this one, can't get behind this. Hear me out. Now, do I agree that this whole the election was stolen has come January 6th? You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Of course this has been so much lawlessness in our country centered around that. There is a former president that is still rocking with that one.
Yeah.
With that said,
But you don't think it would be beneficial if let's use January 6th as an example.
Come on.
You don't think it would be a good thing to have the authority to hold, let's say, a Donald Trump accountable for the lies that he said that eventually caused people to do what they did
here
at the Capitol.
No, check this out. He for sure can be held accountable. That's going to be done once they get through the red tape and really get the receipts and all of those things for what happened January 6th.
Sure.
He for sure incited that. There's a few things that stand out to me. One, there is freedom of speech, right? You cannot look, I can have it. If I get on a radio right now and I said right now, I think the election was stolen. I have the freedom of speech to believe that.
Right.
I can say that. You cannot criminally prosecute someone.
No, but also, your work can fire you.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Let's take this same discussion and let's go back to the 50s and people, governors trying to criminally prosecute someone for trying to register someone to vote. I cannot get behind this right here. Now, I don't agree with it. I agree with Governor Inslee saying that there are some lies that have been promoting these things. I cannot get behind, and I don't see how it's possible to actually prosecute and or remove someone from office that says that. I just that's just not something that can happen, Mace.
All right.
Of speech, baby.
I think to a point, but not if you do damage, right? It's fire in a crowded theater.
And discouraging, damage, the most damage that's been done over the last 22 months is that we have nearly 850,000 Americans that are dead, and we have people that use their platforms, we have politicians, we had a former president that told you that it would be gone by Easter.
Right.
And literally people... Right. Let me be very, very concise here. People are dead in. There are some people that are dead in this country because they listen to others. To me, if we want to talk about criminal, it's criminal to be vaccinated and discourage the vaccine. To me,
yeah,
it's criminal.
It's hypocritical, but I get what you're saying. It sounds like you were going to say something, Chad.
I think, honestly, Inslee would have proposed criminalizing disinformation around the vaccine and around COVID if that was something that was legally feasible for him to do.
Right.
And I understand why he's doing this, because you could imagine, like, remember when the governor's mansion, people breached mm-hmm. the mansion, mm-hmm. right? Like, you can imagine a lawmaker standing up in front of, state capitol, Inslee's house, and saying, you know, the election was stolen, these people are stealing your state, they're stealing our country, and inciting people to crash the gates. The thing is, we already have laws for incitement on the books, and when we have a law that already addresses that on the books, this is what that sounds like to me, Inslee's proposal. Lock her up, right? It sounds like you're calling for jailing your political opponents because this is an additional law that does not seem to be necessary. So I think this is a fat whiff on Inslee's part.
Oh.
But it's not...
I didn't know where you were going with this, Chef. I mean, go ahead, Mason. Go ahead, get your counter.
But it's not just things that you disagree with. It's things that you can prove are patently false in a court of law and that you can also prove are harmful to other people.
Can't prove that.
But you can. You have to do it in libel and slander suits all the time.
On a daily basis, right? Like, you're talking about a politician that gets up to speak. Anything that comes out of their mouth can be possibly looked at and viewed upon as something that is harmful to their constituents.
Well, how about some accountability then? That sounds good to me.
It's just hard to do.
Sure.
It's just hard to do when you have freedom of speech.
Why you only go after the big stuff?
Can I give you a brief counterfactual on this?
Yeah.
Come on.
What if a politician gets up in front of a crowd of people and says, hey, you know, the killing of this unarmed black man by a police officer, all law enforcement is out to get you. Law enforcement is systemically racist. And they stand up in front of a crowd and incite those people. And then they go bust up some shops, right? Can't you see someone with a different political persuasion trying to prosecute someone for standing in front of a group of people and telling them about systemic racism?
Right. We are trying to prosecute teachers for teaching about structural, you know what I mean? Like, it's just based on which side you're on. And this is one of those things where I understand where Governor Jay Inslee's coming from. I don't want to say it's a big whiff, like Chef said, but this is something that I gotta say I disagree with, because I'm just gonna hold on. I'm just gonna simplify it by saying freedom of speech in this situation. All right, we gotta get to number two.
Number two.
You got it, Mace.
All right. If your trash still hasn't been picked up, that's because Republic sanitation workers in Seattle, Bellevue, Linwood, Edmonds, and Kent are striking in solidarity with workers in San Diego. Down south, those workers walked off over, quote, complaints of excessive work hours, harassment, and, they said, the company's refusal to bargain in good faith. Well, thanks to the solidarity strike, a lot of people have been left with garbage that's been piling up since before Christmas. So if it's so bad, that some folks are going to the dump on their own. They're taking their own trash to the dump. Kyra 7 TV's Deborah Horn spoke to some people at the dump, including this man who says the strike's no big deal.
Good for them.
You're in support of the union?
Heck yeah. Yeah.
Very good. And you don't mind this?
It's not even an inconvenience. I'm heated, driving, listening to a podcast. Nothing to complain about.
And so just in from the news desk, I was handed something from Diane Duthweiler here. Okay. If you live in Renton, you are advised to put your garbage and recycling out and leave it there. There will be collections today, Monday, and hopefully every day this week to catch up. Compost and yard waste will not be collected for the time being. Those drivers are helping out with the garbage and recycling. And then finally, some Seattle services customers will have service today, but people in the rest of the city will have a one day delay, and there will be a collection on Saturday for people with regular Friday service.
Irony! Irony. Today is the day that we celebrate and we honor the late, great Dr. Martin Luther King for all of his works that he did on earth for those 39 years. The place where Dr. King was assassinated, it was in Memphis, Tennessee. Here is what's ironic. The reason that Dr. King was in Memphis, Tennessee, is because he was in Memphis to support the sanitation strike that was going on during that time.
Right.
So if we're honoring Dr. King today, whose side would you think Dr. King would be on today if he was here?
And let me add to that, this is a guy who anybody like Dr. King knew what was coming. I think there are people who say he was out and he was doing his speech against the supporting the sanitation workers. He probably wouldn't have done that if he knew someone was going to try and assassinate him. I don't agree with that. I think if you listen to speeches that he gave and interviews in his last what turned out to be his last couple weeks, he knew something was coming and he went up anyway. That's how important this kind of thing was to the guy.
He knew, Brother Mace, and you're absolutely 1,000% correct, Mace. He did know. And one of the things, and by the way, I don't know if you guys have, ladies and gentlemen, if you've had the opportunity to study Dr. King outside of what your teacher told you about him having a dream, I can promise you, your mouth will drop. Here's a did you know? Did you know that his name and his daddy's name was originally Michael?
No.
Did you know that?
No.
Chef, did you know that? His name was originally Michael.
Not Martin?
Not Martin.
Hmm.
And when he was 6 years old, his daddy changed his name and his own name. So both Michael Luther King became Martin Luther King when Dr. Martin Luther King was 6 years old. Wow. Anyways, If you ever get an opportunity to study the late, great Dr. King, the things that you find out about this man are fascinating. But where I was going with this was he was given information and told him, you have got to stay home.
Yeah.
You are about to die.
Yep.
He was warned that for the last 6 months of his life. And nope. Didn't want to stay home at all. And he continued to be on the road. All right, Mace, let's get to number three, bro.
Number three.
I don't know how we're going to get to number three, but I'll get right to it and I'll simplify it. The U.S. Supreme Court will take up the case of a Bremerton football coach who was fired for praying with players on the field following the Bremerton High School football games. Joe Kennedy was removed from his job in 2015, and back in 2019, the Supreme Court refused to hear the coach's appeal. But with six conservative justices on the bench, the case is alive again. In the Ninth Circuit ruling against Kennedy, the court had ruled that Kennedy spoke as a public employee, not as a private citizen, when he kneeled and prayed on the 50-yard line immediately after games in the school logoed attire while in view of students and parents. Chef or Mace, which one of you guys want to take a stab at? We only got a 1 minute left to get on this one.
I'll just say real quick, I don't have a problem with this. And I'm not a religious guy. I grew up very religious. But if somebody wants to, after the game, he's not mandating it. He's saying they can, they're going and they want to pray and students are joining them. That's fine. As long as that's not the only thing that is allowed, right? If another religion wants to practice or somebody has another way of praying prayer, whatever that might be, they should be allowed to do that too.
Chef, you got a 30 seconds. What you got, brother?
If this Supreme Court would support someone from the Church of Satan drawing a pentagram on the 50-yard line and holding a ritual post-game, then I'm sure that they will have no problem with this. But something tells me they will support one side of this and not the other. Should be very interesting to see how it gets challenged.
Okay, Chef.
Heat.
That was fire.
Love it.
And so now we're 1.5 hours into the Gian Ursula Show.
Come on.
And we have not had a lot of laughable moments today.
I know. What's going on?
No. But coming up next, thousands of current and former Spokane County residents are going to be repaid their fines for something. We'll talk about that next. Gian Ursula with Mace. It is the G and Ursula Show. Happy Monday and an awesome day to celebrate and honor the late, great Dr. Martin Luther King. Coming up at 10:45, we will be talking about scenarios and how a 9-year-old wants to now pay rent. That happens at 10:45. But right now, Mace, what you got for us, brother?
Kids that grow up so fast. Look, there's a new potential law working its way to the desk of Governor Jay Inslee here in Washington, and it has to do with thousands of current and former Spokane County residents who were found guilty of a drug possession law that is now considered unconstitutional. And the law would refund their court fees directly by the state's revenue department. The proposal establishes a new refund bureau to dole out compensation to those who were fined under that former law that was struck down by our state Supreme Court last year. Tim Fitzgerald, he is the Spokane County Clerk, said his office's initial research indicates more than 14,000 people in Spokane County are entitled to repayments. That's based on conviction data going back to January of 1993. And the refunds of their court-ordered payments could total as much as $2.4 million, which, let me do a little quick math, 14,000 people, carry the one. That's about $170 per person.
Man, that's a ticket. You pay for a ticket.
Yeah, right? No kidding.
Hey, you know, I had a bunch of ways that I was going to go with this topic, and I was going to go into how deep this has been in these drug possession charges on people and families, and how it's impacted a couple generations, and how you are underemployed because of having some of these things on your record, or yep. you aren't allowed to rent apartments because you've had some of these things on your record. You've missed out on a lot of income because of these things on your record. And basically, actually what it comes down to is if you would have had the money to pay for a lawyer to really help you really take care of this, then you wouldn't have a problem anyways. But I want to go on the positive side of it, right?
All right.
And the positive side is this. Look, man, the things that's happened in our past are very ugly here in this country. But in order for us to get better and have a better tomorrow, we have to at least acknowledge those things. So what I'm saying is this story that you just told us, this news, this proposal, this is good news because, yeah, it's only $170, but it's still the acknowledgement of, you know what? That was wrong.
Right.
Messed up.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so in order for us to be better tomorrow, then acknowledgement of these things is great. Because remember, on the same corner in the Central District, 23rd and Union,
mm-hmm.
there was a time that, you know, you get caught with some marijuana in your pocket. You went to jail.
Yep.
You had a record.
Yep.
Now you can go to the, on the corner store.
Yep.
Right there on 23rd and Union.
It's right there.
And you, right there.
It's a big one.
And you can go and buy marijuana, no problem. All you got to do is be over the age of, is it over 18 or is it 21? What is it? I don't know.
21.
Okay. Over the age of 21. I don't never go in the store, so I don't know. So that's where we are today.
Yeah. So acknowledgement, I like what you said about acknowledgement. We have to acknowledge these things. But to me, acknowledgement is only one half of it. When you are looking to correct something, you have to acknowledge that there is a problem, and then you have to do something to correct what you did wrong. If we're at a bar and I spilled your beer, okay, mm-hmm. I would have to do two things. I would have to acknowledge, oh man, I spilled your beer. That was my fault. And then to make it right, I can't walk away then. To make it right, I buy you another pint of whatever you were drinking, right? That's now we've got a solution to the problem that was caused. And so this is, to me, a really great way of doing that. I don't know how much court fees are for these kinds of things. I don't, but to at least do something, I think is necessary, because there are a lot of people, like you said, whose lives and maybe generations after them, you know, their kids or whatever, were affected and still are affected by this one thing that now is no longer considered a big deal.
I'm glad you brought up one thing about stepping or bumping into someone, knocking over their drink.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my question. Which one are you? Which one are you in the bar? Are you the nice one? Are you the mean one? Are you the, like, I'm going to tell you right now, when I'm in the spot and I'm hanging out, I'm the guy that, like, oh man, excuse me, hey, you know, hey, bartender, get this man, yeah, get this yeah, one, get him yeah. another one. Hey, uh-huh. How you doing, man? My name's so-and-so. Yep. I'm that person in the spot.
I believe that.
But there's some people that's just angry. What you so mad for? This is a celebration. You are in here. And what does it say on the bottle? Does it say spirits? this is a time to be happy.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Hey, man, sometimes you just got to get out of mad? House.
You know why some people are mad, G?
Why?
Because some dude at the bar with them drinking water talking about inflation.
I was just going to say that.
Absolutely destroying him for throwing down a couple bucks in a football game.
Got him.
Hey, my buddies, my friends of mine, they text me too. They're like, hey, glad we can bring you out with us so you can have good content for the show. That's their nice way of saying, you are dang on right.
Yep.
We are not bringing you again out to the place. So if you want a Debbie Downer or a Negative Nancy to come to your establishment and have fun or not fun with you, invite G. Scott.
He's your boy.
Hey, coming up next in scenarios, a 9-year-old wants to pay rent. Figure this out. It's G. and Ursula with Mace. is the G and Ursula Show. Coming up at 11 o'clock, it'll be time for Agree to Disagree. But Mace, let's get to it. Scenario.
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what's the scenario?
Well, here's a problem that I didn't see coming. My son just turned 9. He's had an allowance since he was 4. We think it's important that kids learn how to handle money and manage it. Each year on his birthday, he gets a raise. And along with that comes more responsibility. He has more chores to do and is expected to pay for more of his own expenses. It's worked out really well. But this year in school, they've been learning more about money management and what it costs to live as an adult. So when it came time for our annual negotiation of allowance, he hit us up with, he wants a big raise to $200 a month. And as part of that, he will pay $125 per month rent for his room, food, and utilities. He then wants to save $25 per month for his future. In exchange, he is asking us to match his $25 per month savings so his savings can grow faster. And he wants more freedom. For one thing, he wants to set his own bedtime. At the end of the day, he ends up with about $50 per month spending money, or about $12 a week, which is about what we had planned for him. But we didn't expect it to be this formal and detailed. I have no idea how to react to this. What should I do? 888-973-CHIRO is the State Roofing text line. Mace, you're up to bat first.
Yeah, well, my first reaction is this the boss baby? I mean, that's what it sounds like to me. This is fantastic. Money management in schools? Where was that when I was in school? I would have loved to have some money management classes. Support the guy. Yeah, of course. 9 years old. I don't think there's any problem with being too formal. Some people are just like that. If he's into it and this is all his idea, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm, what do you got there, Chef?
Hard no, absolutely.
Really?
And here's why. Yeah, because, look, this young man is a genius, right? I mean, what do parents have as an argument against our kids when they come to us and they say, Dad, I want to stay out till midnight. Dad, I want to have a phone.
Uh-huh.
You know, Dad, I want to be able to do this totally irresponsible thing. Your only real comeback, even after the age of 18, if they're staying in your house, mm-hmm. is to say, well, until you're paying rent here, son, you live by my rules. So, I'm sorry. Like, we don't get to pay you $125 that then you give back to us for the magic of you being able to set your own bedtime and whatever you want to do in this household, young man. Now, I support the idea of a savings match program. That would have been extraordinarily effective for me and actually motivating me to do so.
Yeah.
But as far as kicking away all the rules because you're paying fake rent that you're not earning, no.
It's a negotiation. They can fire back with something. Business kid.
Here, I love this fake rent.
Here's what bothers me about Chef's response and or rebuttal to this 9-year-old kid.
Mm-hmm.
This 9-year-old kid is a miniature chef to me, right? This little kid thinks like Chef. This is how he thinks. He's only going the opposite for the sake of the show. Chef, you love this. This guy is your twin. Now,
maybe it's too close to home. That's why he does it.
The next thing I want to say is how genius this 9-year-old is. I mean, the part that the three of us, I know that stands out is he's saying, I'm going to give savings, but I need you to match my savings.
Beautiful.
What?
Beautiful.
Oh.
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful. Think about this for a second. Could you imagine if our parents always told us, you need to save money, Johnny and Sarah? And you're like, okay, let me have motivation and let me see you match my contributions.
Yeah.
This is fantastic.
That'd have been awesome.
I love this little kid, and I've never heard of a 9-year-old negotiating like this. And like you said, where was this negotiation? Where was this money management and understanding when we were in school? Why is it that school curriculums, I'm going to ask you this, Mace, maybe you can help me out. Why? Why aren't school curriculums based on trying to teach kids how to understand money? Why?
Well, I mean, it's a bigger conversation, but mostly because our model for teaching kids in schools is woefully outdated. I mean, that's my number one reason.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on. I can't believe I'm for this kid. When you teased this and you were like, a nine-year-old wants to pay rent, my head almost exploded. And I was like, I don't care for this child. And now I'm totally team little guy.
Now.
G.
Yes.
You're not wrong. When I was like 11 years old,
yeah,
I negotiated with my parents. I negotiated for them to give me a weekly allowance based on what the annual cost of my clothing was, and I was supposed to save that money so I could buy my own clothes because I was so embarrassed going with my mom to Mervyn's of California and being told that the cool jeans were not in our budget, so I was going to make it fit within my budget. But unlike this young man who is a genius, I just spent all that money immediately.
Yeah, right. I'm going to tell you right now, guys. I'm going to let you get in on a little secret on Chef. Chef is really, really smart.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's so smart to the point where he could be all things in this, what I'm going to say. He could either be the president of the United States, or he could be a bank robber.
Right.
He is so smart. He could be an engineer. Right. Like, that's where he is in his world. And Chef is not disagreeing with that because he knows I'm right.
I'm so smart, I'm my own worst enemy. How's that? Wait, does that make you smart? That makes you dumb. That does not make you smart.
Oh, it was fun. Oh. All right. Well, we made the 10 o'clock hour fun. See what we did there?
But we promised. You have to put a couple sprinkles on the sundae.
Took a long time.
Like we that got rally. There.
Yeah. All right. Chef is going to be hanging out with us, of course. It's time for him to put his spin on Agree to Disagree. It's one of you guys' favorite segments. We do that next. You guys are listening to The G and Ursula Show with Mace.